The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Mike Huckabee.
Not me. He's laughing because he knows he did it.
Reflecting on fond memories and great relationships, next.
It is exciting to know that you are going to get to be in the Awaken Now Conference. Many of you who were there, you're excited. You're going to be hearing these incredible speakers and knowing that the Awaken Now Conference is available. This is the transcripts, Betty, and we have got the DVDs and the CDs, and we're going to tell you how you can get them. As you know, we don't sell products on Life Today Television, but we give gifts to those of you who help us change lives with acts of compassion and love. So we'll give you information in a little while how you can get the Awaken Now conference tapes, DVDs, and CDs. But now here is Governor Mike Huckabee, who started here, and you're going to hear a little bit about that journey with us when he began a very dynamic outreach.
Kind of sound you can imagine.
And I really didn't.
Do you remember when Admiral Stockdale was Ross Perot's running mate in 1992, and in the vice presidential debate, he looked at the camera and he said, "Who am I? Why am I here? I have never in my life had such a Stockdale moment as right now. Why am I here?" I finally get to go to a Beth Moore conference. I've been wanting to do that for a long time. I tried several times. They told me I couldn't pass the physical. Wouldn't let me in. She's amazing. Absolutely incredible. And then I thought, well, this is going to be really so anticlimactic for me to follow Beth. And then, thank you, James. That was... Seriously. When I used to work for him and travel in the Crusades, I did what he said we're not going to do tonight, have an offering. My first reaction when he came up and says, "We're supposed to have an offering now, but we're not," I'm thinking, I knew James had changed, but I had no idea it was that dramatic. Brother, in those days, we might have dispensed with the music. We might have dispensed with the message and the invitation. We were not about to dispense with the offering. And it used to be my job to get up and actually, as they say in some churches, lift the offering. Now, you have no idea what intimidation is than when you're sitting next to James Robinson on a crusade platform in some stadium, and there are thousands of people in the stadium, and all the time, just before I'm going up during the song, he's telling me what I need to go up there and say. He's laughing because he knows he did it. I cannot tell you how many times. Look, I'm nervous enough as it is. I mean, I'm as old as 21 years old. No kidding. That's how old I was when I started the work for him. And everybody on the staff told him, that kid is too young. He's inexperienced. He has no idea what he's doing. And they got all of that just from my wife, and then they believed it themselves. But he was mentoring me, which means he was telling me exactly what to do and exactly how to do it. That's why so many of us say, Betty, you are a saint. You truly are. I thought we would at least have some music between Beth and James, me, and I was hoping. I first became acquainted with James Robison when I was still in college, and I would watch his television program on Sunday morning as a college student in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. My wife and I would... Are you a Wichita guy? Go Tigers. And we're not talking LSU Tigers either. But we used to watch, my wife and I would watch, we were just kids. We got married when we were 18 and in college, just short of our 19th birthdays. And as we were getting ready for church on Sunday, we would watch James Robison. And what a blessing. There was no other voice in America like James Robison. And we loved many, many people that God used to bless us and minister us, but there was no one who had that prophetic voice like James. And that's how I really believe God had raised him up as a prophet for our time. And when I ended up coming out here with Janet and we enrolled in seminary, we were broke. When I say broke, I mean broke. And I was earning my keep as best I could by doing freelance radio spots, because I had started in radio when I was 14 years old, and that's how I paid my way through high school and college, and I was going to pay my way through seminary doing that. And that was really my first career. But he thinks, oh, you were a pastor and left that to go into politics. No, I was in broadcasting. That's what I believed that I was going to do. The pastorate was the detour, not the destination for me. But I started doing some freelance radio spots, and someone who worked for James heard me do some of those spots and said, you know, you're a Christian. You ought to be doing James Robison's radio spots. I thought, I think so, too. And within a few months, I was working part-time. Don't think it was glamorous, because I was doing whatever, you know, they needed me to do in the media department, buying ads for the Crusades, voicing radio spots, and picking up the waste baskets around the building, which I did, and I did it very well, thank you. Whatever needed to be done, because it was, at that time, just a wonderful small family of people that worked there, and we loved Jesus, and we loved James Robison, and we knew that God had uniquely gifted him in a way that I'd never witnessed before. And after I'd been there for several months, the person who headed the communications department took a position in another state, wanted to get back closer to home. And much to the surprise of everybody, James asked me to take the position full time. And honestly, it really, from all just outward appearances, it really wasn't a very smart thing to do. I was the only person in the building who thought, this is great. That guy's smart, man. Nobody else was seeing it. Now, I told you, you know, we'd come out of college. My wife had gone through several months of fighting cancer in her spine in our first year of marriage, not something we had expected to go through. And between just trying to get through school and her having cancer in her spine and having radiation therapy and surgery and learning to walk all over again and all that, I mean, we came to Fort Worth just about as empty as anybody could hopefully ever get out here. And the only suit I had was a suit, this is no kidding, I bought it at an outlet store for $12.50. It was nice. Polyester double knit. I always pray, don't rub against anything that has any friction whatsoever, or the whole thing just starts. That was it. I had one pair of shoes, had a hole in them, and I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just telling you. So the fact that you laughed, that hurts. That really... Well, James hired me to become director of communications and to operate the in-house advertising agency that the ministry had at that time. And like my third day on the job, I got a call from Clayton Spriggs, who was like a father to me, and I loved him. And Clayton was the executive director of the James Robison Association at the time. And, you know, in every organization, there's got to be one person who's kind of the hammer, you know? So Clayton was the hammer, wasn't he? And I got called to his office. I was scared to death. I thought, this is terrific. I'm here 3 days, and I'm already in trouble. He said, James wants to see you. I said, boy, now I'm really in trouble. And he came by and he said, I need you to go with me somewhere. Okay. I had no idea where. We got in James's car and we went over to the mall in Hearst, Texas, not very far from here. And we pulled up to this men's store. Clothing, people. We get out, we go in, and he said, you know, if you're going to work for me, I want you to look sharp. And he personally took me in there, and he proceeded to pick out 3 suits, shirts, ties, everything. Being James, he didn't let me have anything to say about which ones they were. But I'm pretty sure he figured that anybody would wear a double knit polyester suit had no business picking out clothes whatsoever. He didn't make a big deal of it. He just did it. He personally paid for it. And, of course, he took it out of my check later, but he... He did not. When people sometimes would say, that James Robison, he can just be mean. Because I would hear him as this fiery prophet. I said, you don't know anything about the man if that's who you think he is. And to this day, I'm going to tell you something. If anybody ever said an unkind word about James Robison in my presence, they better be prepared. Because I'm not a violent person, but I have limits. And I'd take on a chainsaw for James Robison, and I mean that with my whole heart. Brother, I love you, and I thank you for investing in my life more than he will ever know. He truly was a mentor. And I love him for all that he invested in me. And I saw it time after time after time after time in people, that loving, caring, generous individual. And tonight we celebrate with him 50 years of the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and 50 years of his marriage with Betty. And while I was kidding around with him, just know that there really isn't a more magnificent couple who exemplify God's grace, unconditional love, and commitment to the Lord and to each other as James and Betty. And I consider it an extraordinary signal honor to be here tonight to share their 50th anniversary of ministry and marriage with all of you who are their friends and who share that love for them. Thank you, brother. When Beth was speaking, I thought, some of you will think that she and I conspired in our messages tonight, but we did not. But I want to share with you what I truly believe God's put on my heart tonight. If you have a Bible and would like to read along, I'll be reading from the second chapter of Jeremiah. And two pieces of this chapter, not all of it, but I'll begin with verse 7. And even though Jeremiah was speaking to the children of Israel, he could well be speaking to America tonight, and I believe he is. I believe the Word of God is timeless. I don't believe it was written solely to a specific historical moment, though it was certainly written to a historical account. And I think one of the great confidences I have in the Word of God is that all of the Scripture was written in a practical and a pragmatic way to a real people in a real time. It is not merely a storybook. It is the account of God speaking throughout history and revealing himself to real people going through real issues. But God's word is transferable to every people, to every generation. There is nothing in God's word that will return to him void, meaning there's nothing that is in God's word that will come back with the word, "This is irrelevant for today." Believe me, I hear people all the time who believe that God's word has become irrelevant to our culture. It has not. We may not hear it anymore as we should. We may not trust it. We may not like it. We may not agree with it. But the problem is ours, not God's. And so everything in the Bible, with all my heart, I believe, is as valid for us today as it was in the very moment he spoke it. So when Jeremiah says in chapter 2, verse 7, "I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land, and you made my heritage an abomination." The priests did not say, "Where is the Lord?" And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore, I'm going to plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Now go to verse 11. "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be you very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, but they are broken cisterns that can hold no water." Two sins, Jeremiah says. God's people have forsaken the fountain of living water. They have forsaken that which is true and right, holy and healthy. And they have gone seeking to quench their thirst from that which is not only an unhealthy and unholy water, but they want to drink from cisterns, but they're broken cisterns. They can't even hold water. And no wonder they're thirsty. As Beth spoke tonight about the thirst, the hunger that we're to have, I could not help but think, you know, God must be up to something here. We're living in a time where we want to blame everyone who is outside the Church of the Living God for all the problems that we face in this country and, in fact, across the planet. We cannot blame the devil's children for that which is the sin of God's children. The children of God who have forsaken the fountain of living waters, and we've hewed out cisterns, but broken cisterns that can't even hold water. And not only do we wonder, why is the world so thirsty, we should be asking, why are we so thirsty? What happened to a spirit of godliness? What happened to a quest for holiness? We've adapted the same goals that drive the world, and that is we want to be happy. We live for happiness. When God tells us we need to be living for holiness, I'd like to be happy. I really would. Given the choice between being happy and unhappy, I pick happy. Doesn't always work out like that, but if that's my option, give me happy anytime. But how often, when we're forced to choose between happy and holy, do we readily say, Lord, here am I, send me. I choose holiness.
Boy, what a day in which we live. God knows we desperately need the next great spiritual awakening. As a matter of fact, it really is the only hope we have to secure peace and to give hope to people. And please understand this. As believers, we don't have to turn our lives or our land, our country, or our future over to the gates of hell or the powers of darkness and deception. If Christians will be salt and light witnesses, we can actually refocus the eyes of the world on a living Savior. And that's what we're talking about with the Awaken Now Conference. A year ago, celebrating our 50th anniversary in ministry and marriage, we hosted 20 of the most dynamic anointed speakers on the face of this earth. Many of them you've never heard. Some of them you have. You know Beth Moore and Christine Kane and Lisa Bevere. You've seen them many times right here. And many of our speakers you know, Andy Andrews, Governor Huckabee, Ben Carson, many of the great preachers that you've heard, like Mark Rutland. And I'm telling you, these great men, Jack Taylor and Dudley Hall and Peter Lord, many of you never heard them, but they changed my life. And many of us went through an incredible transformation by the power of the Word together, and it's impacted people all over the world. Our viewers have said, we love the conference. We want everybody to see it. They're playing these DVDs and CDs. Many of the DVDs are playing in churches and Bible study groups. We're sending them to you if you'll simply help us continue to support the mission outreaches of life, the television ministry. As a matter of fact, you can get the entire conference, both audio and DVD, on a flash drive. And we would love to send the entire conference to you. We're asking you for a gift to support our outreaches of $125 to receive the CDs, the DVDs, or the flash drive. You will also get, with that gift of $125, the transcripts of all the messages. And I'm talking about, here's Robert Morris, and here's the transcript. What a great preacher. This is our pastor. Can you believe we had over 50,000 people attend our Easter weekend services at Gateway, a church that's only 14 years old. But the power of God's there. And it was in Gateway that the conference was hosted. So you're going to be blessed. You'll get the transcripts if you'll simply make the gift of $125 to help us with the outreaches of life. You'll get the CD, the DVDs, or the flash drive if you prefer it. Now, if you'd just like to have the CDs, we're asking you for a gift of $49. Again, that gift supports the outreaches of life. Go to the phone, take your bank card, or go online and say, send me the Awaken Now Conference now. 20 of the most truly anointed speakers you'll ever hear. And we thank you so much for your prayers and your support of the outreaches of life. I pray you go to the phone or online right now. You'll be blessed if you do, and you'll bless others.
Introducing the greatest conference in 50 years of life's ministry. Awaken Now, a powerful message for every believer seeking their full potential in God's kingdom. In this once-in-a-lifetime gathering of over 20 anointed speakers, you'll hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church as you receive insight and empowerment from God's Word and experience a fresh call to unity with other believers.
If you are a believer, you need to hear what has been said at this conference.
Amen. This was a very appropriate message for these times.
You will catch the enthusiasm of this group, trust me.
A fresh touch of God.
It stirred my heart.
Listen to it. It's wonderful.
Don't order them if you don't want to be changed.
Awaken Now is available with your gift of only $49 for the audio series. Or request both the audio and video series along with a companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages for just $125. For your convenience, you may choose to receive the entire series on CD and DVD, or now, for the first time ever, on USB flash drive. This micro device contains all the messages in both audio and video. Simply plug into your computer to watch or listen. And remember, your gift today helps offer the gospel in word and deed around the world. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, it's quite an amazing day of technology when you can get an entire conference on a little USB player. So if you want the CDs, the DVDs, here it is all in one, and you will also receive the Awaken Now messages and transcript. Awesome, awesome study guides. I think you could just go through and do nothing but the devotionals here, and you'd be blessed. Thank you so much for standing with us in prayer. You're going to be mightily blessed by the Awaken Now conference. I pray we see a supernatural, great awakening. God knows we desperately need it. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks for supporting the Outreaches of Life.
We have a generation in the ditches of life because people have been careless and they've ended up lost, and they don't need you and me pointing a finger of judgment or animosity or hatred or condemnation. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him.
Benjamin, it doesn't matter where you begin. It's where you end that counts. And the person that gets you there is God and your relationship with Him.
If you're wondering about how can you make an impact and what is it going to take and why aren't things changing, this Awaken series is absolutely going to fill in all those blanks and answer all those questions.
Because whether you know it or not, you have been entrusted with an invisible, invincible, eternal weapon. And it is time that you begin to use it.
It's been awesome. Every speaker has touched our heart. We've went back and we've talked about it, we've laughed about it, we've cried about it. We just want what they're talking about, a fresh touch of God that will change our life.
When planning your future, keep their future in mind. Contact Life Planning Services today. Tomorrow on Life Today, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Christine Cave. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.